And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. No. Let's go, baby. How you feeling, Braden?
Oh, man, I'm feeling so good. It's summertime. It's getting hot.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a good time to be alive. How are you?
Doing so good. Doing so good. Enjoying the summertime. Lots of good things happening for the Jazz. Probably the most Jazz news that we've had in a long time.
That's right.
Prepared today. We're going to talk a lot about the draft that's coming up. And then also, man, we're blessed with some great playoffs.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk all about our favorite moments from the second round, everything going on in the NBA. And then also, at the beginning of the NBA season, we made predictions for every NBA award. So we're going to actually go back and see how many we got right, if we made any bad predictions, how things went.
Don't forget to check out our past episodes on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us there. At Tuned In Jazz. You can also find us on Instagram. And this is episode 73 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, Braden. So what?
Let's go.
What are you thinking about the draft? It's coming up pretty soon.
Man.
We're still kind of in the early stages of like the scouting and the workouts and all that, but yeah, what are you feeling?
Yeah, man, I feel like our last episode we were still like in the denial state of what had just happened.
I know, like, have you actually recovered from the lottery? Yeah. Do you like feel okay about it now?
Oh man, it's still, you know, it still stings, but I think we've moved on. We're like thinking about the future here. I do think the Jazz have a lot of options, which is.
Sure.
Which is good, but also could be bad. I don't know. Kind of a little scary not knowing who it's going to be. But I'm seeing a lot of guys in that spot. I've seen VJ Edgecombe, Trey Johnson. We've seen Jeremiah Fears, Con Knipple. Like, there's just so many guys.
Derek Queen that we saw. Yeah,
absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see how this draft pulls out. We really haven't worked out any guys for that spot yet, so. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, the NBA draft is actually in 1 month almost exactly.
Yeah.
Today's was we're recording May 24th. It's going to be on June 25th.
Okay.
So we got about 31 days till the draft comes.
Let's go.
It'll be really exciting. But I think kind of going off what you said, like almost no mock draft is the same for the Jazz, but you can pretty clearly see, at least for me, the first four picks are usually Flag, Harper, Bailey, Edgecombe. And then it's like, all right, Jazz, you get what's the leftovers.
Yeah.
After those guys are off the board. But I guess, has there been like a guy you've seen on mock drafts more often? I want to talk about Trey Johnson. I've been looking a lot at him.
Yeah.
Seen him a lot. But any guy that you've seen that you're like, okay, that makes a lot of sense for us?
Well, I think, I've seen Trey Johnson a lot. One guy I've seen a lot, I personally just think this is kind of lazy of the people making the mock drafts, but I've seen Con Knipple talked about a lot for the Jazz.
Sure.
I feel like it's kind of lazy because it's like, let's send the white guy to Utah. I feel like that happens every draft. but Con Knipple is a really talented player. He shot really well at the combine, if I remember right. I think he's a pretty good player. He kind of got outshined a little at Duke last year. Because of who his teammate was, but
he's a smart basketball player too, and I think Will Hardy loves smart basketball
players,
so kind of fits our system in that
way. Absolutely, he seems mature. He's not, you know, he doesn't make a lot of noise in the media, which is good. We don't really want like crazy stuff happening here, so I wouldn't mind Con Knipple. I think it'd be a good pick.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the only one saying it, but I think. He could get a Joe Ingles comparison.
Yeah.
And whenever I was watching his highlights as we were like kind of going through the season, like he's always throwing lobs to Malawak pretty consistently. So I could see him throwing lobs to Kessler.
The classic Joe Ingles, Derek Favors
pick and roll. Just like Joe Ingles used to do that little pick and roll.
Yeah.
And then also he's done a pretty good job of catch and shoot three pointers.
Yeah.
He's been a pretty good shooter, which we want to see too.
Yeah, I think my biggest question going into the draft is like, what do the Jazz need? I mean, I feel like a lot of the guys we just talked about are like really elite guards. And my question is, like, you know, we have Keontae, we have Isaiah Collier, we even have Colin Sexton. It's like, where would one of these guys fit in that little rotation? Not that those guys are, like, untouchable, but, like, I don't know. It just, it brings up some questions where we're like, is it getting too crowded there? Like, who's going to get left out, you know?
Right. Yeah, but it kind of seems like the last couple drafts with Cody Williams and with Taylor Hendricks, the Jazz have really wanted a point of attack defender, like forward player. That being said, the last two drafts, that's what we've gotten. So
been pretty bad.
I still kind of want to see what we have in Taylor Hendricks because I think he could still possibly fit that role. Cody Williams, we have no idea. Last year was rough, but we'll see what he does next year. I'm kind of more on the side. I think the Jazz need a first option, honestly, because I think Laurie in a championship team would be like a second or third option.
Absolutely.
And so I'm looking at the draft and I'm thinking, are any of these guys like first option material? Of course, you think Cooper Flagg could probably do it or at least be the focal point of an offense. You think maybe Dylan Harper. But then after that, like, what of the guys left in the draft could potentially be a first option?
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm actually pretty high on Trey Johnson.
Yeah.
One, he's one of the best shooters in the draft. He shot like 40% from three. He shoots deep three-pointers in college, so range is not a problem. And he's just like one of those players in the draft that's like a scorer. That's really all you could say about him. I know maybe his weakness is, I don't think his defense is anything to write home about, but he can put his head down, score at the rim, shoot well,
absolutely,
and be a scorer. So that's why I'm thinking, like, I think Trey Johnson, he could at least be like one of those high scorers in the league.
Absolutely. And he did that in the SEC last year, which is crazy.
He's going up against Arkansas.
Yeah.
Kentucky, Alabama,
Auburn, Florida. Alabama, all those. Yeah, I like Trey Johnson a lot. He measured really good at the combine too. He's like 6'4". For some reason, I thought he was a smaller guard. But no, he's got good size, 190. His wingspan was pretty good.
You got the best time in lane agility, just saying.
Good moving around, I think that's really interesting because there's a lot of guys like him. I think him and Jeremiah Fears. I really like Jeremiah Fears a lot too. But I think the decision you're making if you draft one of those guys is like they're both really young. I think Jeremiah Fears is still 18 and Trey Johnson just turned 19, I believe. And so you're kind of like taking on another project.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Jazz have like 10 projects going at the same time right now, which obviously we're the fifth pick, so we're going to have to take some kind of project. But I don't know. It just gets kind of interesting here.
Yeah. I think also, I know Jeremiah Fears looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, he can also shoot pretty good. He's a good scorer slash into the rim.
Yeah.
But I also feel like just with Isaiah Collier's breakout last year, like, I kind of feel like I feel more comfortable with him being the point guard.
I agree.
Whereas Jeremiah Fears would probably take Isaiah's spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit. They kind of play the same pick and roll offense and stuff. So I don't know. I'm kind of thinking Trey Johnson could maybe fit better alongside Collier, and maybe Keontae could be like our sixth man.
Yeah.
Or flip that and Trey Johnson could be our sixth man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something like
that. Well, that was the interesting thing with Keontae too, is when he came into the Jazz was like, we made him into a point guard, but he wasn't a point guard when we drafted him. Like, he played the two at Baylor, or maybe he played the one, but he like was naturally a point guard. I remember him saying that. So it's like, maybe we could convert him back to like the
shooting
two
guard, kind of take the Clarkson role,
play next
off
to him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this next year, that'll probably be the case. He'll probably slide over the two again.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, in the NBA today, there's never like really one point guard anymore.
Yeah.
There's kind of just like the ball handler and then everybody else. So it'll be good. So I don't know. Yeah. And then I guess we could talk a little bit about, I know I've seen some mock drafts have Derek Queen there.
Yeah.
I personally don't think he's a great fit just because we feel great about Kessler. Unless we trade Markin and he's probably our power forward. So I don't know.
To me, Derek Queen kind of feels like a Kenny Lofton type of player. To
really?
Me. Just, I mean, he's big, can handle the ball well, can score well. But like, how could you use...
Probably a better rebounder.
Yeah, that's true. It just becomes a question of how can you use that in an NBA system? Could he be like a contributor to a winning team? And it's possible. I mean, we see guys like Naz Reid who play that way, and he contributes to his team. So maybe stuff, but that's definitely a question in my mind. I think if I were the GM, I will say I think one guy that I've been really impressed with is Ace Bailey. I know that he's probably
really
just outside of our reach right now, but I think he's just a really raw player. I think there's a lot of volatility. Like, he could be really good or he could be a total flop. But I just love like his build. I also listen to a lot of his interviews at the combine, and he's a very, very confident guy, which is is kind of what we were hoping to see from Cody Williams. we never saw it. But Ace Bailey, like, he talked about, and somebody was asking him about like tough shots that he took in college and whether he thought those were good shots. And he said something like, they're good shots because those are shots that I practice. And I was like, dang, that's
tough.
That's what you want to hear. Like, this guy's not just like throwing things up. He practices those tough shots. So, it's kind of interesting. I heard Philly, would be open to trading their pick. Do you think it'd be willing? Would it be worth it to give anything up to move up to 3, do you think?
Oof, I don't want to give up very much.
Yeah.
Another red flag from me, I'm just reading with Ace Bailey, is he only averaged 1 assist per game.
Yeah.
And like, I know on Rutgers is basically just him and Dylan Harper.
Him and Dylan Harper, yeah.
Everybody else after that. But like, in Will Hardy's system, we got to pass.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking... he would be an amazing player, but I just don't know how well he'd fit with Will Hardy.
That's true.
Kind of what we're trying to do. That being said, maybe I'd be willing to give up like one of the trade pieces that like John Collins or Jordan Clarkson or something like that we've been trying to give up anyways.
Yeah.
If Philly's willing to do that, but I don't know if I'd be willing to give up like one of our core pieces like Markkanen or Kessler or Keontae or Isaiah.
Yeah. I also think... it would probably take a lot because Philly doesn't need more guards. I feel like they're pretty set with Maxey and McCain. And
yeah.
They just got some dudes over there. They don't really need like Trey Johnson or Edgecombe or any of those guys. So
yeah, I could see them trading maybe for like a backup center so Embiid can have somebody decent when he's on the bench.
That's true.
Or just, I don't know, best available in a trade. Like who's available that's being shopped, maybe like somebody from the Blazers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What if the Jazz could make a trade happen where we didn't give up our 5th pick and we could have 5 and 3?
Ooh.
That'd be kind of nice.
I don't know.
It'd be tough to... it'd probably have to be Markkanen, but...
if we did trade Markkanen...
it'd be interesting.
I'd trade Markkanen for 2, but I don't know about 3. How about that?
Ooh, really?
Because I think Dylan Harper's legit.
That's not a bad take, actually. Markkanen would low-key be a nice fit in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Right next to Wemby. And
you could slide Markkanen to the 3 and Wemby to the 4.
Oh, man, dude.
Be unfair.
And De'Aaron Fox still and Vassell. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
that lineup
I've
would
heard
be
a lot of people say this is still fantasy to me, that Giannis could get traded for
I
that number
that
2
too.
Pick.
I still think
we're waiting to see what that meeting... how that meeting went with Giannis and the Bucks, but in my head, I'm thinking he's just staying there for next season unless we hear anything.
I just don't think he'd be... I mean, Giannis could play good in any system, but I just don't buy that he would be a good fit on that Spurs roster.
Really? I think he'd dominate on there with him and Wemby.
Yeah, I just feel like that's too many cooks in the kitchen, in my opinion. I don't know. That's just a lot of... I don't know.
And you got De'Aaron Fox to kind of get everybody in their
spots.
That's
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't know.
Giannis would play well anywhere, I guess, but it wouldn't be my first choice
for him. But I guess that take would be I would trade Markkanen for 2, but I guess 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'd do it for 3.
Yeah, that's fair. So,
yeah.
Jazz have brought in a couple of guys for pre-draft workouts so far.
Yeah.
The list, let's see. I'll try to pronounce some of these names. Yexel Lendenborg, UAB, power forward. Milos Uzan, Houston. Tamar Bates, Sean Padula, Ole Miss. RJ Davis, North Carolina. RJ Felton and Samson Johnson. Some familiar names.
Some of those guys I haven't heard of.
Yeah.
I guess I remember Sean Padula because Ole Miss went pretty far in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
RJ Davis, we've been talking about him. Yeah. He's played at North Carolina forever.
Yeah. Us BYU fans are very familiar with Milos Uzan. He cooked us. when they played BYU, he was their guy. He was hitting everything.
Yeah. I think right now he's ranked 47, so he'd probably be like our second round pick.
Second guy, yeah. But not a lot of top guys have worked out yet. I think we looked, Jeremiah Fears has had two workouts, Con Knipples had one, but not really anything inside the top 25 other than those two guys.
Yeah, so we're kind of waiting to see. I mean, we got a month, right? So maybe if we wait 2 weeks, we could see a lot more workouts going
on. Absolutely, we'll definitely update that next time we talk.
Yeah, I guess I don't really know much about I know we've had the combine, now we're having pre-draft workouts. Like, what goes on in a pre-draft workout? You just kind of say, hey, go shoot around a little bit and play against some of our guys. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine it'd be pretty nerve-wracking.
Right, yeah. It's like a job interview where you have to actually do the job first and show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of... I also feel like... I don't know. I mean, this is definitely more of a football thing than a basketball thing, but like we've seen the classic pro days with like Zach Wilson where they just like look really good when they're in a gym with nobody guarding them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do you judge that with like, obviously in an NBA game, you're not in an open gym shooting shots, you know? So
yeah. And sometimes you have a hot practice where you're just on fire and sometimes you have a bad practice, right? I guess same thing with the games. I don't know, you take it all with a grain of salt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but hopefully we get some more guys in pretty soon. And
yeah.
We've also got the Summer League is coming to Salt Lake. We almost thought it wasn't. I think if I remember right, it's like the same teams as last year that we had.
I think so. I think it's
Thunder.
Yeah, I think they do the same teams every year. They used to have the Spurs come. The Spurs don't come anymore.
Yeah.
Some kind of interesting teams coming. 76ers will be here, so we'll probably see Ace Bailey, maybe, either way.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And then Grizzlies and Thunder. Not sure who we'll see for them, but...
Lower first round guy.
Who are you going to be looking at with the Jazz? Other than our draft picks, who do you think the Jazz should send Summer League this year?
Definitely Cody Williams. I think he's the number one person that I want to see in Summer League and see what he can do.
I agree.
I also think did Walker Kessler play last year? I'm pretty sure he did.
Last year, I think he played in like one game.
In one game? I think Walker Kessler's done. We don't need him in Summer League no more.
I think so too.
Let's take him out. Let's take Keontae out.
Yeah.
And let's maybe run like our three rookies from last year and Taylor Hendricks kind of a thing.
I saw something that said Hendricks is back to basketball, but he's not going to be in summer league. So I think he'll be out.
So maybe not him then.
I still wouldn't mind seeing Sensabaugh. I know he's got a little time under his belt. But.
And he's actually had such a great year last year, like shooting the three. Like I feel pretty good about him, but he could always use a little bit more burn in summer league.
That's true. Yeah, I think those are the guys I could think of too.
Mostly those three rookies, right?
Yeah. Maybe we just like go all in on trying to win something in the summer to get people hyped that we'll just send Markkanen and or no, maybe we'll just let Clarkson cook, you know?
Dude, Clarkson would win the MVP of that.
we'll send Clarkson and then we'll just like build up his stock so that we can trade him for more in a couple of months.
Or maybe that'd be the preseason, right? I don't know. Yeah, but I think the summer league's not in the Delta Center either, right?
Huntsman Center. Yeah.
So make sure to go there.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that we get there's only four summer leagues around the country. Kind of cool that Salt Lake gets one every year. Yeah. I don't know how we got hooked up with that, but it's pretty sweet, honestly.
We'll definitely take it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, tickets aren't too crazy expensive.
Yeah.
I remember last year at Summer League when we went, we got a Mo Williams autograph too. Guy Mo Williams. That was cool.
That was super
hot. So maybe we'll see something like that again.
Yeah. Summer League's always fun too. It's like, it's it feels like just a big pickup game where you get to like just guys play, and a lot of them are playing for their jobs, their careers. So
yeah. I also think, you know, Vegas every year has Summer League, the finals and everything. That totally has turned it into a basketball city they're going to probably get an NBA team here in the next 5 to 10 years. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometime this summer, I'm sure we'll talk about like expansion stuff. Obviously, sure. We'll have time to talk about things, but
yeah.
Interesting. NBA playoffs,
dude. Have you been watching all the games?
Oh man,
I've at least following them all.
I think I've watched every game in the last couple weeks. I'm kind of
Let's go. Kind
of been neglecting some other things to watch them, but holy cow, man, that was. I guess just starting with the most recent game last night was the Pacers Knicks series. I mean, I know it's 2-0, but that series has been insane.
Best series of the playoffs for me.
Oh, absolutely. Wow, and the historical like context behind these games is kind of like wild too. Like Knicks Pacers, the history that they've had is just kind of wild.
What's like? Well, I guess obvious moment that we got to talk about is Game One where Tyrese hits the shot.
Yeah,
but I think that's overshadowed a lot that Aaron Nesmith.
Oh, dude,
was honestly forget Tyrese Halliburton. I know that was a big shot, and he played phenomenal too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest star in that game one to me has to be Aaron Nesmith.
Absolutely.
He hit like 8 for 9 from three in that game, which is mental.
Yeah.
I saw a post that said that we need to rename the Hall of Fame to the Nesmith Hall of Fame now for him. He was insane. I actually am kind of liking him too. He seems like a good dude, but
dude, the Pacers have some dudes. Like last night, game two, I think that TJ McConnell won that game for them because there was one point, I think it was like in the third quarter, where Halliburton was out because of fouls. I mean, he wasn't like out, but he was getting up there in fouls. So Rick Carlisle puts McConnell in and he just started dicing up the floor. He had like 5 assists in the span of like three minutes. And I was like, he kept them in that game.
He's been doing that all year too.
Yeah. And we've seen a lot of teams struggle with that, with their non-Halliburton minutes, like being able to stay in games even when Jalen Brunson was still in the game. Like anyways,
it's interesting because TJ McConnell, I think a lot of people including myself like forgot that he was even in the league,
because
he was on the Sixers for a while and he was all right there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's playing amazing this year, so one of his best years.
And Pascal Siakam, I think he had
like almost 40.
39 last night. And I thought Miles Turner played really good. He hit some big threes.
He's like the perfect fit for that team.
Absolutely. And Rick Carlisle is a good coach. He's like, he plays with his lineups in such a way that it's like the other team has to like, because a couple times New York last night had their 2 big lineup with Cat and Mitchell Robinson. Mm-hmm. And Pacers just like took advantage. And it was like, that's cool when you have a coach who knows how to
When you control the game, right? You make them adjust to you.
Yeah.
I'm also kind of to the opinion, you know, the Pacers are usually a playoff team, like for many years.
Yeah.
I feel like the Pacers are the Jazz of the East. I don't know if you've heard that take.
Interesting.
Where like they've always been a pretty good team. They've had Paul George runs where they had decent playoffs. They had Bogdanovich that one year. Remember Bogdanovich versus LeBron? Yeah. They had Oladipo. So they've always had like pretty good teams, but they've never really gotten over the hump.
Yeah.
This might be the year where they finally do. So I don't know. Just kind of, I see a lot of similarities with, they also don't get a lot of star free agents coming to Indiana. I think they're the Jazz of the East. So that also gives me another reason to kind of hope that they can take it all the way. But
absolutely,
that Thunder and Timberwolves teams up in the other, in the West are going to be tough.
Yeah.
For whoever wins, but this series is still not over.
No.
The Knicks are still a fantastic team. And I would argue Game one, the Knicks were the better team for 42 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was just the end that they choked.
Yeah.
Right. So it's definitely not over, but the Pacers are looking real good.
Absolutely. I think I saw a stat too. Knicks are like 5-1 in the playoffs on the road. So Mm-hmm. They don't struggle on the road, so this is not, even though it's going back to Indiana, I don't think this series is over. I could see this one going seven. This one could come down to it, I think.
Yeah, and I think you're gonna get a Mikal Bridges game. Yeah. You know Jalen Brunson's gonna give you a game.
Dude,
every
he's
game.
A hooper. Oh my, Jalen Brunson
backpacking him. Yep,
it's insane. That guy, where the heck did he come from? It's just wild. He's so good.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the other series has not been
been
all so right, good,
but not great.
There's been some good moments, I guess.
I feel like Edwards has been like okay, but we haven't really felt like he's had a game yet.
Yeah.
Randall, I think he had a pretty good game one, but game two, he was pretty silent.
Yeah.
Surprised.
Yeah. Rudy's had a pretty bad series. I think he's like minus 15 on the floor in both games.
Yeah.
Which is not great. But that's another, they're just exploiting that matchup. Like, Thunder are really good at going small, too. And
they force Rudy on the perimeter. Yeah. Yep, that's how you do it.
Just gets Rudy off the
and
floor.
And honestly, like, unlike the Lakers, because Rudy Gobert had that one dominant game against the Lakers, the Thunder are special because they can put Chet on the floor, and Rudy Gobert still has to respect him from three.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they can still kind of run five out. So, I don't know, it's kind of hard against the Thunder. They have a pretty good rotation they can run. And, I mean, sometimes the Thunder coach, Daigneault, he's putting, like, four guards out there.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, all right, Caruso, you're the power forward now, and you're going to guard Julius Randle or something like that, right? It's crazy. Like, they just don't care about the size, and it hasn't really mattered so far.
Thunder are funny because, like, it kind of seems like they have, like, 10 guys who are, like, the same player to me. Like, they all just have this same, like, long build. They can shoot. They can defend. Like, you're like, who's he? Who even is that guy? It's Isaiah Joe. What the heck?
Yeah, and he's just actually like been playing decent defense.
Yeah, yes. And so it's just kind of, I think Chris Finch has made some, he's had some bad coaching moment. I think it was like game one where Anthony Edwards sat out for like 5 minutes and OKC went on like a 12-0 run, and it's like,
that's what happened with the Nuggets too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get you need to rest your player, but like for 5 minutes, I don't know. I feel like after 2 minutes, you probably need to stop the run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, also, I think game one, Anthony Edwards had like 13 shots. He needs to be taking more shots than that. I think he's got to be more aggressive.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be threes. Go to the rim. Be aggressive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, in game two, Anthony Edwards had like 10 free throw attempts. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's got to try and match Shea from free throw, right? Yeah. Which is going to be hard, but like how you're going to beat the Thunder is you're going to have to force them to foul you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that Nuggets game, game six or game seven. Thunder get in your face, right?
Yeah,
they're being very aggressive on defense. Sometimes they get called for fouls, sometimes they don't. I think the only way you can really beat the Thunder is by forcing them to foul you.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get in foul trouble. You're going to have to make lots of free throws, and that's how you're going to be able to beat them. But if you just let them be aggressive and get away with like that kind of defense, like it's going to be hard to win any game.
Absolutely. So. The Wolves are getting frustrated too. I think the series is over, in my opinion, because I don't know if you, at the end of game two, Jaden McDaniels like shoved Shea. When he was, because
really?
Shea did like the thing. It's frustrating watching Shea. I won't lie. I get it because he's like foul baiting to another level of like, there's one thing to like know how to like sell a foul, and there's one thing where you're like literally pulling guys into you, and he does that all the time. Anyways, he did it to Jaden McDaniels, and Jaden McDaniels just like pushed him right to the floor, and you could tell he was really frustrated.
Yeah.
And you just can't do that. In a playoff series, you can't get frustrated like that. I know it is frustrating, but.
Yeah.
I think they're in their heads, and it kind of feels like last year for the Wolves where they played really good to the conference finals and then got dog walked by the Mavs, you know?
It's like you've got so far and then it just kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
I hope that they have some fight. I know they're going back home.
Yeah.
That could give them some more energy and excitement into the series. So
I hope so.
But I think that segues pretty well to our NBA awards conversation.
Yes.
So we'll talk about our boy Shea winning MVP to start. But
I guess
let's go back and look at our predictions along with it too, right?
Yeah, let's do.
So maybe just to start with Shea and MVP, I can't remember, like, who were you kind of expecting to win MVP in your opinion, Shea or Jokic?
Well, at the beginning of the season, I guess it was going to be Shea, because I thought, actually, I don't remember this, but I had Giannis as my runner-up. But I think my thought process back then was just that it would be a voter fatigue MVP, and I think that's what happened, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Is that who you had Shea as well?
Yeah, but I had Shea at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But I actually think I had Jokic at the end of the season, just because...
Me too, yeah.
Like, you look at his stats, you look at how much impact he had on the Nuggets, it's just unreal.
I agree.
Just because I have Jokic does not mean that I'm discounting Shea at all, because, Jokic's season is just insane, but Shea still is at an MVP caliber season.
Absolutely.
If you look back at, like, the last 10 MVPs, Shea's right there with him, like, in how well he's done this season.
Absolutely.
You have a team win 68 games, you're going to be in the MVP running, right? It's just part of it. And if Shea played the fourth quarters, his stats would probably be a lot better, because he almost never did. So, yeah.
I think I saw something like the MVP voting wasn't like that close either. I want to say Shea like won it by a pretty good margin.
That's crazy.
I don't usually agree with Doris Burke, but she was talking on one of the broadcasts about how she was talking about that one of the main reasons he won MVP is because his team had 68 wins. Like, that's just a big selling. And she was talking about if they had 64 wins or 63 wins, it might have been a much, much closer race, which is interesting that, like, four games could have that type of an impact on an MVP race. But
I noticed that with the All-Star game. Like, the Cavs had three All-Stars because they were, like, the most wins. So it seems like that's definitely the way the voters go.
Yeah, and even... like LaMelo Ball was like almost got into the starting lineup of the All-Star game, but ended up missing the All-Star game entirely
For fan voting, right? And then for like the actual voting.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just didn't end up getting in at all, which is,
yeah, which is
kind of the same thing. Like, team wasn't good. So obviously,
I guess at least they're consistent, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess we both got that right.
Yep.
Who did you have at the beginning of season for,
oh man,
what, defensive player of the year? Should we do that?
Yeah. I had Wemby. I still feel good about that pick. It had no injury. I think he would have ran away with it.
That's who I had as well.
Yeah. I think Evan Mobley was a good pick, though. The Cavs had one of the best defenses this year.
Yeah, you look at his stats, he's getting lots of stocks.
Absolutely.
Doing well.
So I don't hate the pick. I'm just glad it wasn't Draymond, honestly. I'm so tired of that, that narrative. So.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm picking Wemby next year. I don't think there's any shame in just picking Wemby.
Maybe we just pay it forward, give him the next 10 awards so we don't have to like talk about it every year, you know?
Sure. Know.
What about maybe we go six man of the year? Who did you pick early season?
I had Malik Monk just because he'd barely not won it the year before. I thought maybe, I don't even think he was in the conversation really this year.
No, I don't think so.
So... not a bad pick in retrospect, but not end up happening.
Yeah.
What about you?
I had Naz Reid repeating because he won it last year, right?
Yeah.
I still just really like Naz Reid. I think his role just changed this year a lot with Julius Randle coming in. I think it was just...
Yeah.
He still played great, but I just think it was really different situation this year, so...
Yeah, and then I think Pritchard really came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Him and... I think it was pretty much him and Beasley that were the... finalist.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I didn't expect either of them.
Nope.
So I'm happy about it, but yeah, kind of would have been hard to predict.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then should we do rookie of the year?
Sure. So I had Rob Dillingham. But I put Stephon Castle as my like sleeper pick, so maybe that's redeeming a little.
He didn't even really play that much, I guess. Maybe we were thinking Mike Conley was going to take a bigger step back, but he was still all right.
I still really like Rob Dillingham, but for whatever reason, he just never found a role with the Wolves this year, so I don't know.
Yeah, I had Castle.
Stephon Castle.
I felt really good about him from the draft. He just seems like a future all-star, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know how he dropped to five.
It's insane.
Was it four in the draft. Yeah, like somewhere. I don't know why he didn't go higher.
That's crazy.
To yeah. me. Like the Spurs are literally so lucky.
Yeah.
And then I guess most improved player, I had picked Shaedon Sharpe.
Ooh.
Didn't yeah. really see that much jump from him. He got injured a lot this year, so that yeah. didn't help. And honestly, I just thought that somebody on the Blazers was going to pop off, whether it was him or Simons, and they were yeah. going to be decent. Didn't end up happening, but we'll be all right with it.
Yeah, that's true. I picked Cade Cunningham. I feel good about the pick. Obviously, it wasn't
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he was a finalist.
Yeah, and he was an all-star this year. So he made a really good jump. But Dyson Daniels, I don't think either
Nobody
of us
Nobody thought that was happening. That.
But he's turned into a good player, a really good defender.
And I'm glad he won it too, because I don't like all-stars winning yeah. it.
No.
I think I like it better when it's like the guys that were like not really that great turning yeah. into a decent player.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dyson Daniels, he might have set the record for like either steals or like deflections in the year.
Yeah.
He was an amazing really defender. I think he made all defensive first team after I don't even think he's ever made it before. So
the Hawks were looking like a bad situation, but I'm kind of liking their future now. I mean, they got a lot of... Reese Shea looked better than we thought he would.
Yeah, he was the second guy for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, so kind of there's a lot to be look forward to if you're a Hawks fan.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson was out like the whole year. He'll mm-hmm. come back.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. That brings us to, I think, Coach of the Year. This is probably my worst pick. I thought it was going to be Nick
Me
Nurse.
Me too. I had Nick Nurse as well. I think we matched on that one.
Although, I think at the time, I don't think that was a horrible pick. I mean, we really thought the
whole...
We were
high on the Sixers. They were looking good.
I thought the Paul George thing was going to work out really good. It just... I do think that there was an injury aspect for it, especially for Paul George. I don't think Embiid can use that excuse anymore, but Paul George, like, when he, like, hyperextended his knee or something early in the season... So that really just kind of derailed him. And Jared McCain started looking really good, and then kind of the same thing, injuries. So I still don't think they're a bad team. But
I don't think I'm going to put my faith in them next year, though.
I don't think so either.
This year has been so bad that I'm done yeah. believing in them. They can go ahead and prove me wrong, but it's going to yeah. be hard to put my faith in them next year.
Absolutely.
But Kenny Atkinson ended up winning it, which was a surprise to me.
Yeah, no, I would never guess that.
Yeah, he... First year in the Cavs made them one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah. And
unfortunate that they went out in the second round again yeah. with Donovan, but they had a pretty good season.
Yeah. I kind of hate that the Coach of the Year has turned into this like who took their team from a bad team to a good team. I know that is good coaching, but I also feel like really good coaches don't always get awarded because they're like good all the time, you know?
Sure.
So, but I do think he deserves it. I think they're the second best record in the NBA this year, other than the Thunder. Yeah. So, pretty yeah. good.
Yeah. And that's another place where you see the committee loves wins.
That's right.
So, you do. I was thinking JB Bickerstaff might
Unless
win
you're
it.
Quinn Snyder, then you don't get it when you're
sure.
top record in the league, but whatever. We're over it.
Hey, he got it one year, right?
He was runner up the year that we had the best record in the NBA. Fortunately, and Tom Thibodeau won it. What a joke. That was crazy.
it's insane. and then I guess we get to the award nobody remembers?
Yeah.
Clutch player.
Ooh.
I had Ja Morant for this one.
That's who I had too. I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't end up happening. He actually, or maybe this was last year, he had that, remember that one game he had where he was like super clutch?
Yeah.
I think that was last year. I think that was the reason why I thought maybe the whole year he could pull it off, but
I think my logic was I thought maybe the Grizzlies would play a lot of close games, which I think they did, but I don't know if he
yeah and he didn't even they played great without him yeah. honestly a lot of the games yeah. so yeah
not great,
but our boy Jalen Brunson won it, and I would not be surprised if he was in the running next year too.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't shy away from seeing him do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching the game last night, just like, if I was a Pacers fan, I would not feel comfortable with any type of lead with Jalen Brunson on the floor. Like, they were up, like, 9, and Jalen Brunson just walks up the floor and hits a 3. You're like, this guy is just, like, so confident.
He's backpacking. Yeah. And he's totally not afraid of the moment. He's done that so many times.
He's just like straight faced the entire game. He doesn't like get too excited or too mad. He's just like, he's just locked in. It's pretty sick.
He shoots a lot of free throws too.
He does.
But I also feel like the way that he shoots free throws, I'm a little bit more okay with.
Yeah. He puts a body on guys in the paint, so it's like,
yeah.
It seems more like
he's
a
putting
foul.
His body on the line for it.
Definitely.
And he's been really good at taking charges too. So he's not afraid to get in there.
Grappy guy, yeah.
And then finally our last one, scoring title.
Ooh.
I kind of just picked Shea, so I think that's right. He had most points per game. So
I had Jason Tatum. I remember thinking, because I think we picked these right after like the Olympics, and it was like my logic was like, this guy's going to be pissed off that about what just happened this summer, and he's getting all this hate for not really showing up in the finals last year, even though they won.
I'd argue he was just not scoring. He was doing everything else.
He was definitely good, but... Anyways, I thought he was going to just show up and ball out. And he did play good this year. I think he's first team All-NBA. Yep. So I guess can't say that it's a bad pick. But
yeah, and yeah, that kind of runs up our awards. Yep. I guess it's good to see some guys come in and surprise you.
Absolutely.
I think especially the most improved and sixth man is really hard to predict.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that guys are coming in and doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one thing I love about the NBA this year. I know we've heard a lot this year about how ratings are down. And I was thinking about it last night. And I think, honestly, my opinion is that, like, I think ratings are down because, like, the big names aren't as good.
Yeah. It's not Cavs-Warriors every year.
I think this year we're seeing more parity in the NBA than we've ever seen. Like, there's, like, legitimately going into the playoffs, there was probably 12 teams that could have made a run.
Yeah, especially in the West. It's like,
exactly.
Even some people were thinking the Grizzlies were something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, Warriors, Clippers, all those teams could have made it. Celtics could have made a run. Cavs could have made a run.
Pistons, low key.
Pistons looked really nice.
Yeah.
So, and you can never count out Giannis. So it's like, and the fact that our conference finals is Thunder, Wolves, Pacers, Knicks is just like,
yeah,
it's like, it's good basketball too.
Yeah, it's like, maybe your casual NBA fans are like not as interested because there's no LeBron or Curry.
Yeah,
but like, if you love just watching basketball, like you just like the game, this is one of the best years
I think we've ever had.
Yeah, just great basketball.
Absolutely. And I think the new CBA gets a lot of hate with all the like not being able to pay players that much, but it's going to keep the NBA pretty competitive, I think, because you're going to have like teams like the Thunder. I don't think they're going to turn into a dynasty, because in like 2 years, they're going to have to make some decisions about guys.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Celtics are there right now. They're going to have to move on from somebody this year. So anyways, that's just kind of my rant.
Yeah, like I think J-Dub and Holmgren are both on rookie deals.
Yeah, and you're going to have to pay it. And I saw a thing, Shea's eligible for $76 million a year.
Oh my goodness.
Now that he won MVP. So you're not going to be able to pay everybody. But anyways, that's just my rant, but I just think the NBA, I just think it's great basketball right now. It's exciting.
For sure. And that's coming from guys that have been through a long season with the Jazz. I think this is our reward, just some great playoffs.
Absolutely. Well, not much going on with Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, is there even really anything to talk about?
Or I should say Utah Mammoth, sorry.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, shoot, we should change that. But they're getting ready for the draft, too, probably.
Yeah. And it's just so hyped that we have a name now and that we even have a hockey team. It's just still crazy to me.
Yeah,
It's pretty cool.
But our boy AJ is on campus now, sir. At BYU. I don't know if you've seen, but he's got a YouTube channel.
I've seen him.
You have seen it?
I haven't watched any videos, but I keep seeing it pop up on my suggested videos.
Yeah, it's actually cool. I think he's pretty funny in front of a camera and microphone.
Yeah.
So he went around and showed off like a day in the life, or kind of like,
oh, I did see that one. That was good.
What a day was like for him on campus. It seems like he's doing well. We've got all these NBA guys just at BYU working with him and working with Xavion Stanton and the teams. It looks like they're doing some good things.
Yeah.
I know in the off season you don't really see a lot mm-hmm. going on, but I'm sure there's a lot of good things brewing there. We'll have a good year next year.
Oh, absolutely. I'm
Are
so
you
excited.
More excited for next year or this year, this past year of BYU basketball?
Oh, I think definitely next year. I mean, oh man, I think he's going to be such a good player. Plus we just like our roster is so much more well-rounded than last year, even though we had a really good roster last year. It's
Rob Wright's really good. Like, I don't know if people understand like how good he actually is. Yeah.
And we added like, I can't even keep track of all their names anymore, but we added all of these like athletic wings around AJ, AJ and Rob. Like, we got that guy from Southern Illinois or whatever, and then we got a guy
from... Yeah, he averaged like 16 a game at Southern Illinois. Yeah,
really good. Oh, we got us a backup point guard. I don't even remember what his name is. And then, of course, Richie is coming off of his best season yet. I saw something... Somebody ranked Richie as the third best small forward in the country, which is crazy to me.
What the heck?
I could agree, but also like, wow, that's insane. So, I'm just so excited. I think it's going to be so hype. I think BYU is going to sell out every game next year. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the transfers that we've had. I don't know if these are the ones you're talking about. We got Nate Pickens from UC Riverside.
Oh, yeah. He's the point guard. Yeah.
He's Back the point guard. Yeah. And then we also got Tyler Maroose from Idaho.
I forgot about him.
He's like a sharpshooter.
Yeah. Trevin Nell replacement is what that's kind of what I was
really?
Thinking.
Yeah. So we got an Idaho sharpshooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course Rob Wright and AJ's coming in. So
yeah, I saw an NBA like insider guy talked about. He went to the practice and he was talking about how impressed he was with AJ. He was talking about. He said something about how he reminded him a lot of Paul George, but he said something like, "But Paul George didn't have the body that AJ has now, like conditioning wise."
Strength and frame.
He was talking about how it took Paul George 3 or 4 years in the NBA to get that level of conditioning and like strength. And it's like, anyways, that's kind of exciting. You got an 18-year-old.
Takes a lot of hours in the gym to do that.
Absolutely.
And I know once, like, you even look at Taylor Hendricks in 1 year, how much work he put to go into the gym and get his body ready for the NBA.
Absolutely.
That's like something you see like almost all rookies kind of have to go through that, but maybe AJ is already there.
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, also another side note, apparently Kevin Young got reached out to about the Phoenix Suns job, is the rumor, but obviously he's still
Hopefully he's staying here.
Yeah, hopefully he's... excited about what's going on. He should be. I mean, he's building he's building an NBA factory in college basketball right now. So, yeah, it's kind of exciting. But thank you all for joining us. Of course, lots of exciting basketball happening. Thanks for sitting with us while we enjoyed talking about it. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've gone over a lot of draft things, and we will continue over the next couple of weeks. So you want to keep up with our episodes. You can find them on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find us there. And peace.